This is All India Radio. In Spotlight, now we bring you a special program, 50 Years of Bangladesh Liberation War.
India and Bangladesh share civilizational and cultural ties and a concomitant relationship that is anchored in history, language and shared values of secularism and democracy. This relationship is based on sovereignty, equality, trust, understanding and win-win partnership that go far beyond a strategic partnership.
India was the first country to recognize Bangladesh as a separate and independent state and establish diplomatic relations with the country immediately after its independence. Over the years, this bond has grown leaps and bounds, and the cooperation between the two is discernible in various sectors, including new and high technology areas. 26 March 2021, Bangladesh is completing 50 years of Bangladesh Liberation War, which lasted for roughly 9 months in 1971, resulting in Bangladesh's independence from Pakistan.
This war transformed the geopolitics of South Asia and witnessed the surrender of 93,000 Pakistani soldiers. A war which unveiled the real face of Pakistan saw atrocities being inflicted on its own people in the erstwhile East Pakistan. As per an estimate of the Bangladesh government, nearly 3 million people were killed in the liberation struggle, which lasted for nearly 9 months in Bangladesh. The 1971 war was a fallout of the oppressive political and economic policies of West Pakistan towards East Pakistan, which caused unimaginable human sufferings leading to the exodus of more than 10 million refugees into India. The military option was exercised by India only when all political and diplomatic efforts to resolve the issue failed.
The series of events leading up to an all-out war triggered by unprovoked airstrikes by Pakistan on Indian air bases on 3rd December 1971 began with the decision of the Pakistan Army to conduct elections in the country in the December of 1970. In 1970, the Pakistan Army decided to step down from power and announce elections. The Awami League under its leader Sheikh Mujibur Rahman swept the polls in East Pakistan, but the military junta was unwilling to transfer power to him. In a historic address at the Raman Racecourse in Dhaka in early 1971, Sheikh Mujibur Rahman promised them a new country, a sovereign state, a place where there could be no differential treatment meted out to the Bangla populace.
Mukti Bahini or the Mukti Fauj, with an aim to realize the dream of a sovereign Bangla nation, was formed to follow up the dream of Sheikh Mujibur Rahman. The uprising in East Pakistan sent panic waves to the West Pakistan, which appointed Lieutenant General Tikka Khan as the administrator for the East Pakistan. Lieutenant General Tikka Khan organized a brutal crackdown in East Pakistan and is considered to be the chief architect of the Operation Searchlight. Operation Searchlight was a planned military operation carried out by the Pakistan Army to curb the Bengali nationalist movement in the erstwhile East Pakistan in March 1971. The long and torturous history left no scope of return, and the Bangla freedom struggle united everyone. Mukti Bahini, along with the support of common populace, controlled large areas of the country in the waterlogged countryside after Bangabandhu's call. The military reorganized itself after the monsoon and by September 1971 had reclaimed all the territory. The freedom fighters took refuge in India. They crossed the border and took shelter in India. Nearly 10 million people from East Pakistan took refuge in India in camps along the border. There were ordeals of massacres and rapes, while it was clear that the cost of looking out to the refugees was going out of the pocket of the Indian government. It was during this time that skirmishes between the Border Security Force and the Pakistan Army began. Steadily, both countries began inching towards a war. Lieutenant General Jagjit Singh Arora, who was to be later in charge of operations in East Pakistan in 1971, recalls,
"The planning was done in good time because we had the time. And the second thing is that we realized that unless we achieve success in the shortest possible time, the United Nations and the other major nations would like to try us from carrying on fighting as a ceasefire rather than giving us time to have proper victory. But we didn't want anything less than victory why evolved that we should be able to surprise and we should also be able to have mobility. Now, the communications were very sparse.
Indian Army registered victory at the Battle of Boira even before the war had officially begun. On 21st of November, fierce brigade battles were fought at Boira in the western sector, Hilli in the northwestern sector, Akora in the eastern sector, and Silhet in the northeastern sector. At Boira, American-built three Pakistani Sabre fighters were destroyed by Indian Nats in the skies. The war officially began on the 3rd of December when Pakistan attacked forward Indian bases. The attempt went in vain. The then Prime Minister of India, Indira Gandhi, addressed the nation at midnight. The Indian Air Force retaliated and attacked Tezgaon and Kurmitola air bases the same night, causing heavy damage. Air Marshal H.C. Diwan, who was among those who planned India's retaliatory Air Force response, says,
"The Air Force bombed each and every airfield, whether in use or out of use, in Pakistan, East Pakistan. And every airfield was immobilized. Once it was immobilized, they were just not able to take off. We dared them, more or less, to really fly over some of their military airfield, which was primarily in Dhaka, Tezgaon, but they did not come up because they realized that the Air Force was quite superior to them."
The most crucial planning was involved in blockading East Pakistan from both sea and air, as the same ensured cutting off additional supplies to the Pakistani forces. India utilized its marine stealth and INS Vikrant stood firmly in the Bay of Bengal. The 1971 war demonstrated the unified power and synergy of all the wings of the Indian Armed Forces. Vice Admiral Mihir Kumar Roy, who played a leading role in the war, said,
"In 71, we had the blockade. We prevented any of the ships and prisoners moving out by the calls, etc., because we had aircraft that operated at night. And when I spoke to Admiral Sharif when he was a prisoner in Fort William, and he said, I was deaf, I was blind, because day and night the Navy hammered us in all the inside calls, etc., leading to the seas."
The 1971 war is also remembered as one of the shortest duration wars which changed the geopolitics of South Asia. Within 3 days of the declaration of the war, Indian forces were able to completely ground the Pakistani Air Force. Many important cities, including Jessore, had fallen too. The time had come to recognize the long-awaited dream of millions of Bangla people who were subjected to pain and agony. And the recognition came in the Indian Parliament by the then Prime Minister, Indira Gandhi.
"The people of Bangladesh battling for their very existence and the people of India fighting to defeat aggression now find themselves partisans in the same cause. The government of India have, after the most careful consideration, decided to grant recognition to..."
The Eastern Command, which was planning and executing the operation on the ground, ensured that the war must not go for long. Any attempt by the Pakistani forces to retreat was thwarted. Displaying their indomitable spirit, the 41 Mountain Brigade took the control of Jenida, another important town in the southwestern part of the erstwhile East Pakistan. Displaying great military prowess, Lieutenant General Sagat Singh of the 4th Corps bypassed 45 towns of Komila and marched for Chandpur and Daukandi. Then Chief of Eastern Command, Lieutenant General J.F.R. Jacob,
"We planned the campaign in such a manner so that we'd be move fast and we would suffer the minimum casualties. To do this, we at Eastern Command selected our main objective to be Dhaka. And we then selected subsidiary objectives to assist in this. They were not towns, but communication centers and command and control centers. For example, in the western sector, we selected Magura and Faridpur. In the eastern sector, we selected Chandpur and Daudkandi."
On the eastern front, the Indian forces crossed Meghna River after a 36-hour-long airlift operation, as the bridge over it was destroyed by the retreating forces.
The local population and the Mukti Bahini assisted the Indian forces with boats.
"We had, with Mukti Bahini, been able to achieve favorable situation as far as the civilian population is concerned. So wherever we went, they were there ready to help us. Whether they had rickshaws or they had country boats for crossing rivers, rickshaws were carrying our stuff."
Pakistan planned to use its US-made submarine, PNS Ghazi, to attack INS Vikrant. Outsmarting the sinister plan, the Indian Navy was successful in hunting down the submarine near the coast of Visakhapatnam.
Vice Admiral Prakash, who was on INS Vikrant, said,
"Ship like aircraft carrier is a very big target. And in fact, the whole honor of the Indian Navy was crystallized in this one target. I received message straight away that Ghazi sunk. Now, it was a tremendous relief."
On the other hand, on land as well, the Indian forces displayed great tactical and military acumen. The 2nd Para Battalion para-dropped in the Tangail area on the afternoon of 11 December. This ensured that the Pakistani forces in the Minmen Singh sector couldn't reinforce Dhaka. Once again, the Mukti Bahini and the local population played a crucial role in making this operation successful.
The 7th American fleet was approaching the Bay of Bengal. It became imperative to finalize the fall of Dhaka. To achieve that, I felt that I must help the army in a bigger way and to quicken up the whole process of marching towards Dhaka. The closest that the army echelon or the army advanced troops were, they were in the north. So we had used this paratroop in the north of Dhaka.
10 days into the war and on 12th of December, Pakistani troops started to surrender in various sectors. By then, Dhaka was full of Indian troops who moved from Tangail and Narsingri.
The number of paratrooping forces swelled as the time passed. Soldiers from the 95 Mountain Brigade reached Joydepur, a suburb of Dhaka. Palping no point of return, Pakistani President Yahya Khan authorized East Pakistan governor to take all steps to end the fighting. The governor resigned after a crucial meeting.
2 days before the final surrender, General Niazi went to the U.S. Consul General to send a message to General Manekshaw asking for a ceasefire and safety of his troops. General Manekshaw agreed and asked the Pakistani army to surrender to his advancing troops. General Jacob on the developments.
As we landed, I was received by the Pakistan Army Chief of Staff, plus there were the foreign press, the whole lot of them, as well as the United Nations representatives who offered us their good services to negotiate. I felt that they had no role in the surrender, so I thanked them, and I then proceeded on towards Niazi's headquarters. We had a lot of trouble in reaching Niazi's headquarters. The fighting was still going on in the bits of the town. We could hear the firing, and Mukti Bahini stopped us, and they wanted to attack Niazi's headquarters. I told them Niazi was about to surrender and there was no point in doing so.
The instrument of surrender was signed at the Dhaka race course at 4:31 in the evening on the 16th of December. General Jacob arranged the surrender formalities. General Jagjit Singh Arora, who took the surrender talks about the memorable event.
I had decided that we take the surrender in public view. So that's why the surrender was taken on the race course. And the public has gathered there in absolutely large numbers, which has had a tremendous effect on public.
70,000 defense and 2,000 paramilitary personnel had surrendered. On the 12th of January 1972, Sheikh Mujibur Rahman was sworn in as the Prime Minister of Bangladesh. Indian forces in their fight for humanity fulfilled the dreams of millions of Bangla people.
The year 2021 was a watershed moment in the history of India-Bangladesh relations. The year also marks the golden jubilee of the establishment of formal diplomatic relations between both the countries. Bangladesh and India have a rock-solid relationship, further cementing the ties between the two countries as Bangladesh celebrates Mujib Borsho. The Gandhi Peace Prize for the year 2020 has been conferred on Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujibur Rahman by the Government of India.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi told that Bangabandhu was a champion of human rights and freedom and is a hero to Indians as well. The legacy and inspiration of Bangabandhu has made the heritage of both the countries more comprehensive and deep-rooted, and the path shown by Bangabandhu has laid a strong foundation for the partnership, progress and prosperity of both countries over the last decade. Long live India-Bangladesh friendship.
You are listening to a special program, 50 Years of Bangladesh Liberation War. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.com.